Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Sitting across, we have a full house today, but sitting across from me is...
Mike Cosentino is right over here.
And who do we have? We have Klaus von Stutterheim is with us today.
Klaus von Stutterheim.
Yeah.
We keep practicing that.
I know. I have some German ancestries, and
he's not a spy. He's a guy that we let on the mic once in a while because he's got he really knows politics.
Well, he's a brilliant guy, and he's had a long history in financial advising, and so we're really glad to have you, Klaus. Our guest today is who, Mike, sitting here.
January Contreras. Contreras is a good old Verde Valley name, but she's not from the Verde Valley. January is running for Attorney General, and she did speak at the Democrats at the Red Rocks meeting this morning, and we snagged her, as we often do, to come down and talk to you all about running for Attorney General of Arizona, a statewide office some illustrious Democrats have held in the past, but we certainly are going to talk about the current incumbent also. But January, Contreras, please.
Mike, I want to ask her a really important question. I want to find out. This is important, Mike. I want to know how she ended up with such a cool name as January.
Because I have a cool mom. So January was for her both unique, and there's also a Saint Januarius. So it met tradition, and my name is January Joy.
Mm-hmm. Were you born in January?
I am. Okay. Yeah, my birthday was earlier this week.
All right, Mike, I turn it over to you.
Who's January Contreras? Why should we vote for her?
I'm a working mom who's dedicated my whole career to public service. And you should vote for me because the Attorney General role matters more than it ever has in our state and in our country, and we need someone who's beholden to people, not to special or corporate interests. A little bit about myself. I am an Arizonan. My roots hail from the other side of the state, from southern Arizona. My dad's from a mining family in Bisbee. My mom is from the Nogales and Tubac area. My grandparents are from those same areas as well. When my dad got out of the Air Force, we moved up to Phoenix, and I graduated from the U of A for undergrad and law school, and then came back to Phoenix.
Was your dad at Davis Monthan?
No, he was in Texas. My first job out of law school was as a county prosecutor, and I worked in the Maricopa County Attorney's Office as a deputy county attorney, criminal prosecutor. Went to then work at the Attorney General's Office, and as an assistant attorney general... Under Janet Napolitano.
Let's throw that name in there if we can.
Yeah, and I prosecuted white-collar... healthcare fraud, and also crimes that happened in nursing homes. And so oftentimes it's neglect, abuse, financial exploitation. You have staff or, unfortunately, sometimes family or friends trying to take the life savings of folks in nursing homes. And I had the privilege to fight for justice in those cases.
One thing I want to say is congratulations to the state of Arizona that there are no more elder abuse cases, because I haven't heard of one in a long, long time. So, January, your work back under the Napolitano administration had to be stellar, because the state of Arizona hasn't brought, at least publicly, a case of elder abuse in many years. So good. It's all over, right?
Oh, I mean, these problems will go on. Where you see a difference is under Napolitano administration, and I think in others, a real focus on elder abuse. And so that's actually how I got to know Napolitano herself. I mean, I was a line attorney, but elder abuse was a big priority for her. And so I just got to spend a little more time with her than other attorneys, because she wanted to know what was going on. What were we hearing from staff, from families? Where were we visiting? And, you know, how are the cases going?
It must be kind of painful to work on those cases because you see people getting hurt, exploded, who are really pretty much defenseless, right?
It was absolutely the most righteous work I've ever had. These are people who have lived their lives and deserve to grow old in peace and safety. And they're to know that there are people out there who want to either take advantage of them or harm them, it's pretty disgusting. And they were tough cases. But again, the agents that I worked with and myself, we did our best to piece stories together and facts together for victims who could often not speak for themselves. And it was a real privilege to do that.
January Contreras, Attorney General candidate. Tell me, now, none of those people would be family that would actually not be looking out for the concerns of their elder relatives. But I'm going to guess that that's not true, that you had to prosecute family.
We all want to believe that. And I think it's not true for most families in our state and in our nation. But there are folks out there who are led by greed or desperation or substance abuse issues. And sure, we saw plenty of folks who were being taken advantage of by family members. And the Adult Protective Services plays a role in that. And a lot of times local law enforcement and your county prosecutors are handling those cases when they're not happening in the nursing home setting that we worked in.
They get to you, they must be pretty serious cases. In other words, they could be resolved other ways, some sort of inspection of a nursing home. And by the time you take up a case and start prosecuting people, it must be fairly serious.
Well, let me divert for a second because I'm glad you brought up enforcement. This is another sign of the times that we're in and why we need a strong attorney general and why I'm the right candidate. The federal government just put out official guidance to states encouraging them to decrease enforcement in nursing homes.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
This is a time where relationships between trade associations and individual politicians and who they're appointing are carrying the day. Meanwhile, our loved ones are in nursing homes deserving safety, and, you know, I'm going to be there for them.
One of the things I liked about your campaign is that you framed the whole attorney general job, or at least part of the attorney general job, as at least in two things, as having a litigation strategy. And we want to talk about the Republican litigation strategy, or lack thereof, and a bully pulpit. Now, both as those things that don't rise to the level of litigation or whatever, that you could at least talk about them, talk about these problems and these issues in Arizona society, and maybe some things that could be done both legally and non-legally. So, but we want to jump in as Steve wants to. Let's talk about your opponent and the lack of, or what the litigation strategy seems to be for people that, for not for the people of Arizona. Let's put it that way.
So, I mean, you're right. I see that the attorney general, we have two major powers. One is using that bully pulpit, and the second one is our litigation strategy. The litigation that we've seen at the current attorney general office, and some of it is, of course, doing its job. You've got a lot of line attorneys there that are there to do their job. They believe in public service. But where we see, differences, certainly not litigation that I would sign on to or that I even believe that state taxpayer money should be wasted on, is all these anti-LGBTQ litigation that's happening. Lawsuits are happening around the country, and you see these outlier folks involved with it, and it is the state of Arizona filing and joining these people, wasting our resources for the right to discriminate against people, something that's clearly unconstitutional.
Can you give us an example of this kind of thing going on?
Sure. I mean, Sure. There are specific cases out there that are designed around this discussion of your religious liberties. Okay? I'm a person who's very active in my faith. Never would I go to court asking for the right to discriminate against people based on their race or religion, or a woman's right to choose, or someone's sexual identity or orientation. Never. Those don't have anything to do with the exercise of my rights as a woman of faith. But that's what we see happening. And so there's a case in another state, of course, where the owner of a small business refused to serve someone because they were LGBTQ. And because that person said it was against their religion for same-sex marriages. And they went to court and they wanted, you know, so the couple sued. And you have some very extreme organizations who are taking up that litigation. They went searching for attorney generals to join them. And there you see Arizona.
Our attorney general joined in this case in calling it religious liberty, but it's really the right to discriminate against certain people based on your religious beliefs.
That's right. You know, and here's another example. Another attorney general is litigating against ExxonMobil. Okay? And ExxonMobil shopped around this country looking for attorneys general to come to their defense. And they found 5 attorneys general. And guess who's one of them? So, again, we have our state taxpayer money, the name, the state of Arizona, on an amicus brief defending ExxonMobil. You know, that just never has happened in the legacy of the attorney general's office. It's never been used that way. It's a little bit heartbreaking.
It's kind of shocking, really, that our resources are being wasted on all these basically political involvement. It's basically political involvement in causes close to the corporate and right-wing heart, but it's not necessarily anything much to do with the people of Arizona. Klaus, did you have a question for
January? I wanted, you mentioned earlier that Arizona has the dubious honor of being considered the number one state for corruption. And I wonder if you could elaborate on that. And I think you also said that what would be corruption in other states is legal in Arizona. So can you talk about that for a minute?
Sure. In you know, there are different studies out there. And one study focused on corruption in government out of Harvard. And when that study came out, Arizona was number one. And it focused on our government officials. What we have here is a pretty shocking culture of corruption. We see campaign donations being made and a tit-for-tat in the policies that are being pushed and the legislation that's being pushed in relationship to the donors. And so in many other states, they have laws that promote ethics in government. I mean, ethics, that's bipartisan. We all want ethics in government. But we can't get these laws passed in Arizona because there's just a deep desire by the people in charge to have less transparency and to have really sanction of the cozy relationships between lobbyists and special interests and elected officials.
Talk about the public records, January, if you would. The change there.
So transparency, I think, it's another bipartisan issue. We all want transparency in our government, right? This is our taxpayer money that is funding every single thing that happens in government. So we should have the right to know how our money's being spent and how our officials are behaving.
But if I'm a corrupt official, it doesn't sound very good, transparency, right?
That's right. And you don't vote for transparency.
No, I wouldn't.
So here's what's happened just this year. Okay? In Arizona, we actually have this beautiful bright line that says if anything has to do with government business, it's a public record. It doesn't matter if you wrote it on your home laptop, on your cell phone or on your desktop at work. If it has to do with the business of government, then it's a public record. We had our sitting attorney general come forward this year with an official opinion trying to muddy that up, trying to create a giant loophole that, in essence, would allow for each elected official to discern whether any particular communication is a public record. And then if they determine it's a public record, well, by all means, they should disclose it. Well, you know, the courts put a stop to it. You know, the court said, nice try. The beautiful bright line exists in Arizona, and it still exists. That opinion, is, you know, we're going to just pretend that didn't happen.
So this would have allowed the officials to decide what was public information, so they could basically hide anything they wanted. Mike, what's the story on
that's it? Yeah. You know, you're hearing it from the attorney general candidate that they went to court to try to allow them to decide what was public and what was private. If they wrote it, then it could be private. And the court at least got this one right in Arizona and disagreed. So we were saved on that one. That doesn't mean future courts, as long as these fascists are in power, that we're still in danger.
I mean, it's just a shocking kind of thing to do, to spend the time and the money that you can have a hidden area and you get to decide what's public information and what's not. So if you're not the most honest guy, you get to decide what stuff you release. I mean, and it's amazing. The Attorney General of Arizona went to court with this.
Put out an opinion to create less transparency, and the courts put a stop to it. And what's a little more shocking is one of your legislators up here from the northern Arizona, actually, because less transparency lost in court, is running a bill to say that communications on personal devices are not public records.
Is that Sylvia Allen?
No.
Bob Thorpe.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Thorpe, who I don't know, but I know that every citizen in this state should be paying attention to that bill so that government business is not doesn't fall into a black hole.
If we go to far right-wing crazy stuff, Bob Thorpe is the go-to guy.
There you go.
If you have a piece of crazy, crazy, weird, over-the-top legislation, Bob Thorpe seems to be the first guy they go to get to sponsor it.
Legislative District 6 is so proud. We certainly have candidates to run against Bob Thorpe. We have, just to be Democratic perspective for a moment, we have a Democratic candidate. We have Felicia French and we have Bobby Tyler running for the Arizona House, which Bob Thorpe is a member of.
And of course, excellent candidates, Mike.
Two excellent candidates. And, of course, we also have Wade Carlisle running for state senate against Sylvia Allen, who we already mentioned. One of the areas of corruption, and I know maybe it's been done to death, and you did avoid it this morning, but that's okay. We're going to do it a little more, is education. And that we have a legislature that's right. The definition of corruption would be to pass laws that allow you to do unethical and things that were previously illegal. In other words, own charter schools, like one third of the Arizona legislature does, or at least has an involvement in charter schools in a financial way. And then one, Kavanaugh, I believe, runs the scholarship program, which has just been expanded, and gets a piece of that. So you have, as far as, I'm sorry, obviously I'm campaigning now, but we've got January Contreras running for Attorney General of Arizona right here in Chasm Studios, and she's going to talk about what I consider anyway. But you can tell me, what level of corruption does that rise to or not?
Well, I mean, I think you started with the right starting point, which is we do not have laws that make unethical behavior illegal in the charter school area. And that's where we need to start with change. When I was an assistant attorney general under Attorney General Napolitano at that point, we had a school accountability division. And it did its job in terms of looking through records and the way that different schools were administered and making sure that, everything was kept above board. The problem is a lot of our laws do not require things to be kept above board. So what we see is this real a big problem of self-dealing. Okay, so you have a charter school, and then you know, the sister runs the books, and the brother sells the computers, and you know, on and on. And it's a very in sort of this insidious, you know, everyone's making money off of each other and ultimately off of our taxpayer money once again. And so I certainly think in all schools, because we're also hearing about problems with the big, these school bonds and RFPs, and, you know, not everything being above board there, we need to make sure that we're looking at all of that at the Attorney General's office and working with these schools to tell them here are the better ways to be administering. And if there are things there that fall within laws that are illegal, then we need to be willing to prosecute those. And I certainly am.
I think your description of it as self-dealing is the most accurate description I've heard. Gloss, let's go to you. Do you have a question for January?
Yeah, I was interested in the fact that you said earlier that you're one of the top five attorney general candidates, according to the DNC. How many Democratic attorney generals are there in the U.S., and what's the DNC going to do to help you?
I don't know the exact number. I think there are about 22 Democrat AGs in this country, and many of them are up for reelection. I've gotten to spend quite a bit of time with a number of them to learn what they're doing and to gain their support and knowledge.
Well, there was something in the. I'm sorry, I'm going to take that question, but that in the what is there in the Constitution that you got the Attorney General of New York that just seems to be leading the pack of Democratic attorneys general in defending the Constitution, that there is something that attorneys generals can do to help this mess that this complete assault on the Constitution. And in some ways we are seeing not only the U.S. Constitution save us, but we're seeing the Arizona Constitution save us from this blatant corruption. But going back to Klaus's question, what can they do?
They can do a lot. And your question is about the DNC and DACA. Arizona, this race for the attorney general was named one of the top five attorney general races to watch in the country. That's exciting for us. It's an acknowledgement, quite frankly, of your listeners, of all the people out there that are showing that, you know, they're out for change. It's an acknowledgement of the Republicans and the independents that are showing up at my events saying, you know, I'm not leaving my party. I'm not joining your party, but I'm voting for you because we have to put a stop to what's going on now. And so, you know, we see enthusiasm across the whole country, and we are winning races because people are tired of the status quo. And so there is, you know, we'll see what kind of resources they show up with at the end of the day. But certainly being targeted as one of the top five races that they believe we are going to win in terms of new AGs in 2018, it's a great starting place for us to be in.
Will they give you any help though, January?
Right, that's the question. You know, I won't.
Mike could go on about the Democratic National Party lack of support for Democrats in Arizona, but what's your take on this? I mean, do you think they'll help you, or is it...
I think they are genuinely. They've had their eye on Arizona. Many people across this country, right? They've watched SB 1070. They've watched Joe Arpaio. There are a lot of people out there who want Arizona to get on the right course. And so I think in my conversations with them, what I see is they see we can win this attorney general race. The attorney general role matters more than ever, and therefore it's worth their investment.
Well, that's the word investment is where it's all about. As we know, whether you like it or not, folks, it takes money to run for office. And just ask those two APS candidates that sit on the Corporation Commission. Or you can ask the governor of Arizona how much money he got from the Koch brothers and his shills. So point is, where can we get some money, January? It's going to take, how much money do you think it's going to take to even run in this race?
We're out to raise $2 million.
Jeez.
$2 million for a race even 10 years ago would be settled for less than $200,000.
Yeah.
But here we are in 2018. We can lament the past, but we are in the present.
Maybe
day.
Better tell us what your website is where folks can donate to your campaign. And as small as contributions, folks, if you make them, they add up over a whole state. I mean, we've got, 6 million plus people in Arizona now.
That's right. I mean, and that's what this campaign is about. So we are never going to compete with the corporate money and the special interest money that the city and AG is collecting. But we have a lot of people behind us who are ready for change. And, you know, financial reports just came out. We have four times as many donors as the guy who's had 3 years to do this job. That says a lot.
He's not doing the job, right?
How do they get you the money?
So you can donate by going to our website. It's www.january4az.com. We make it nice and easy for you, and those donations matter. I can't reiterate enough what we shared here, which is small donations, large donations, they all matter, and we want to keep having 4, 5, 6, 10 times the number of donors that the city and AG is, because that's how we show our strength and how we're going to win this in 2018.
Are you on Act Blue?
Yes, it is Act Blue.
Listen, people love a story, so why, what in January Contreras' life made her run for a statewide office in Arizona?
I mean, my whole career has been about public service. It's who I am. That's my DNA. I believe that we all were put here with the responsibility to those around us. And my career reflects that. I'm also a mom. I've been married 23 years. I have two teenage sons. And those are the reasons why I never wanted to be the candidate. I'm a very sane, healthy person.
And you're running in for office in Arizona.
I'm running in Arizona, the state that I love, that my family has lived in for generations. And that's why I'm here with you. You know, I just saw the Winston Churchill movie. And you just could watch it, and you knew it was the right guy to be there at a time when who was there mattered. That is where we are at in our state and our country right now. And I'm willing to put myself out there because we need someone who is beholden only to the people of the state, not to the people with money. And it's absolutely the privilege of a lifetime, and it allows me to sleep at night to step forward in this way to run for attorney general.
The two governor candidates, David Garcia and Steve Farley. Now, I would never ask such a divisive question as which one you would prefer to work for.
Nor would I answer.
Okay, that's good.
We've interviewed them both, and it's a luxury to have two great candidates. I mean, it's a difficult decision, I think, for most Democrats on which one to support.
It really is.
What about your opponent? What about the current attorney general in Arizona? I know you don't want to say real bad things about him. Mike thinks bad things about him, I can tell. But what can you tell us about the kind of job he's done? What's his focus? I mean, he's filing all these briefs that have nothing to do with the health of Arizona and just cost us a bunch of money and time for the attorney fees. What else can you tell us about him?
I would ask you to compare our histories because we've both been prosecutors. I mean, that's a part of our story. But while I went off, came back from the Obama administration and started a legal aid office representing kids and young adults who are abused and trafficked and homeless, you know, this person became a lobbyist for the private prison industry. Okay, so I ask people to pay attention to the history. In terms of how we run the office, I just believe that you'd have stronger leadership with me sitting in that chair. Very leaning forward, whether that's elder abuse or the kids in the foster care system or consumer protection. We, Arizona, have this wonderful legacy of being national leaders on consumer protection. We've had attorneys generals like Grant Woods, like Napolitano, like Goddard. We've recouped millions of dollars from big moneyed interests for the way that they have taken advantage of Arizonans. That legacy has been eroding over the last, you know, two AGs we've had. That is what we need to bring back for Arizona. Someone who's fighting for us.
I do want to underscore that Grant was Republican that he was. You know, he was up in Arizona, up in Sedona many times. Terry Goddard, obviously Janet Politano. You know, we're talking about attorney generals that made a difference, and as they can. And their staffs, by the way, they were out there being the bully puppet, and they had these 16, 18 or more people, not to mention the people they contracted with, that did some stellar unsung work for Arizona. Goddard, bless his heart, I think, tried to let the state know about the line attorneys in the attorney general's office that were doing the yeoman's work.
I think
work.
That's a really good point, Mike. There's a legacy of great attorney generals in Arizona, Republican and Democrat, and to see the attorney general's office just slide downhill, operate from special and political interests is really, you know, it says a lot of not such good things about where we've gone politically.
I certainly want to remind all you folks that this interview will be on the VBID.org website, as all our podcasts are. You can find it there in a few days. Actually, it'll be many days because this is we're recording a future show. But look for it there. January Contreras, we'll have a little synopsis there. VBID.org. You'll find it on Facebook at various locations, certainly my Facebook page, and maybe Steve Williamson, Mike Cosentino. January Contreras, hopefully she'll have to be proud of what she said here today and put it on, spread it around a little bit. But this is it. We want to say hello and thank you to Democrats of the Red Rocks, where January Contreras just spoke this morning. They invited her up. She had a great turnout, by the way, for a great breakfast down at Old Sedona Bar and Grill. And as they do every month, by the way, well, so you can be seeing lots. If you live in Sedona or Verde Valley, you're going to be seeing lots of candidates brought to you by Democrats of the Red Rocks as they help also bring you Democratic perspective. We want to give a shout out to Steve Segner and his whole crew over there. EC, Felice is making breakfast over there, probably not as we speak anymore. But every morning with her crew, Steve Segner at El Portal is a big supporter of Democratic perspective also.
Best breakfast in town.
There you go. Good enough. Absolutely. So we want to talk about this is 2018. We got a lot of great shows coming
up. What would be your agenda, January, when you got into office? You're elected. Back to having good attorney generals is my prejudiced way of putting it. But you're elected. What would be the first few things you would do if you do get the position?
I mean, in terms of actions, the first thing I do is make sure in those first couple of weeks we're getting to every county in the state. I have had the chance to travel around now. And, you know, that legacy of including rural Arizona in the service and protection of Arizona, it's eroded along with many other things. They're not used to seeing the AG anymore. So we need to bring that back because that's how we know what's going on the ground. That's how we know what are the issues we need to be paying attention to. So it's getting around the state. It's talking to law enforcement and folks on the ground who about the issues going on in their town, just like I'm doing now. That doesn't stop when I become AG. And the big issues that we focus on from day one, it's building teams and it's building collaboration, not just within ourselves, but with local law enforcement, with faith-based communities, with nonprofits, with the business community. Everyone needs to be a part of how we solve big problems. So for me, those issues to work on, number one, it's kids and seniors. Every kid that's in a foster care system is touched by the AG's office. They deserve our absolute best. Seniors that are in nursing homes. Then it's consumer protection. We are going to bring back the legacy of taking on the big interests on behalf of Arizonans. And number three is taking on corruption. And that may be mostly the bully pulpit in the beginning because we don't have the laws on the books that we need. But so be it. I mean, we are going to bring transparency in state government to a whole new level, and Arizonans deserve that.
As hopefully you realize that as a, now a political person, it's one of the traditions of the Arizona, I guess maybe all, but certainly Arizona Attorney General's office is its non-political, its non-partisan status and how it was able through administration after administration until now, or until recently, I should say. Tom Horn, the current guy, has made the office as political as possible as everything else. And this is a part of the sadness, those of us, those longtime Arizonans. I've been here 50 years. Some of my friends, they were here before it was a state. The border crossed them, they like to say. They didn't cross the border. The changes with this, and I'm going to use the word again, although it's overused, corrupt administration, is what we're campaigning against. Now, the good thing is January Contreras has a whole bunch of whole slate of statewide and local candidates to run with her.
Well, because we've got an attorney general now, let's be frank, because we can say it, who's not doing much good and who's doing a lot of wasting a lot of taxpayer money, wasting a lot of lawyers' time, engaging in all kinds of things that don't benefit Arizona. He's doing a really, really bad job. I think I can say that without calling him name. We really need to be able to actually make a kind of right turn. We need to make a left turn, depending on your politics.
Correct.
Correction. We need to make, Mike's right. We need to make a correction here before the state slides down another 4 years into the abyss of a basically useless attorney general. I'm sorry, but that's
right.
What I think.
So what about a structure? Four and a half million people live in Maricopa County. We got you up here in Yavapai County. We're glad to have you. I'm really glad you made the trip. However, numbers tell us, of course, numbers also tell us that Sedona and the Verde Valley is going to be important because everything else is kind of 50-50. So when you have workers and a media outlet like we have here, then maybe that we're enough to change the balance. However, you got 4.5 million people live in Maricopa County. Do you have folks that are going to help you out down there? Well, how are you going to get those votes?
Absolutely. It's been one of the really inspiring parts of this campaign is the number of people coming forward who didn't know what the AG does. And once they understand that the Attorney General actually has this incredible role in getting rid of corruption and getting rid of the influence of donations on our policy in the state, they're stepping forward in big numbers. So we are going to get all around this state. It's not only Maricopa County, and that's a lesson that many other campaigns have learned. We have to talk to all voters now because that's who we represent and work for when elected. And up in Maricopa County, it's the same. It's getting up early. It's talking directly to voters of all parties and making sure that they know the Attorney General role at this moment in time is more important than it ever has been, and that they have a solid, ready on day one candidate in me, in January, Contreras.
Contreras.
Yeah, depends. If you roll your R, Contreras. If you don't, Contreras works too.
No, we have, like I said, we have lots of Contreras in Verde Valley.
And I'm really glad of the interest in rural Arizona because even when I used to talk more to my Republican friends and, you know, and kind of opponents and colleagues and stuff, they had the same problem that Democrats did with the lack of focus on rural Arizona because Maricopa is just so large. What is it, 70% of the voters live there, between there and Pima? It's hard to get the attention, so I really do appreciate you coming up here, and I commend you because I know that you will keep your word and keep our interest in our areas and the rural areas of Arizona when you're in office.
This is Secretary of State's purview, I guess, but voter suppression. I'm afraid. When we get the Secretary of State in that chair, we're going to talk to them about it also, the candidates. Are you afraid of the current people suppressing the vote in Arizona?
I think that we, as Democrats, we always have to pay attention to voter suppression because, unfortunately, our state has a history of in certain neighborhoods, and they tend to be neighborhoods with higher poverty and more Latinos and African-American communities, we have some history of voter suppression. I have served as an election protection attorney in the last several elections, and it's painful to watch when, you know, what are called just sort of business decisions. We had to, you know, look at our presidential primary up in Maricopa in 2016, okay? We had people waiting in line 5-6 hours. I was there as an election protection attorney with this, watching this very elderly man, hands trembling on his cane as he's trying to stand in this lane, a line. And I'm telling him, you guys need to give this man a chair. Let him go to the front of the line. You know, that doesn't look like some sinister voter suppression, but it is, and it can be. And so, you know, we have a new county recorder up in Maricopa County, and I think he's doing all he can to make sure that people know when to vote, that people are getting more educated about voting, and that it's going to be more convenient for them when they show up, and that matters. The attorney general role in the precious right of voting, absolutely, there's one. It's a civil right. And the Attorney General's office has a civil rights division. It is a absolutely something that we will be involved with, so that we're doing all we can to protect everyone's right to vote.
I think it's shocking that we even have to discuss sort of voter suppression and a campaign. It should be illegal to try to suppress people's vote and to keep people who are legally entitled to vote, to keep them from voting. And setting policies and to do that really should be illegal, because the right of vote is really how power works in America. And if we don't have clean, decent elections with fairness to everybody who might want to vote, then our democracy as a is undercut. And so I'm glad to hear that you're going to be involved in that. Klaus, did you have a last question or so?
No, as you were talking about voter suppression, it amazes me. You know, America has spread democracy around the world, or tried to, and Japan and Germany are two examples of real democracies that became democracies under American pressure and education. Yet when you look at America, you see all these ugly things that, you know, are so contrary to democratic principles. So it's just the dichotomy of what used to be the international policy of the United States and the domestic aspects are just staggering.
We were a great example and taught countries many, many good things, and now we've gone back on our example.
Real quick.
We've eroded from what we were once a leader. We're now behind in a lot of values and behaviors.
You got 60 seconds. Jan Brewer said, liberals don't vote, Democrats don't vote, Latinos don't vote. That's why we never worry about them. Are Latinos going to vote? Are liberals going to vote? Are Democrats going to vote?
Absolutely. What I have seen in this short time on the campaign, I think it's the same reason that made me step up and say, you know what, we deserve a better AG. I'm going to be that person, is what is going to get everyone out to vote. People see what's at stake, and a lot is at stake in 2018. So they're going to vote because they care about what's going on. They've had enough of people putting special interests first over people. They want to fight for education. They want to fight for public safety, for themselves, the protection of their rights.
You're listening,
absolutely.
You're listening to January Contreras, a candidate for Attorney General of Arizona. Please find her website, January Contreras, November 6, 2018. Thanks, folks.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.